The blessed old story is true. It is true today just as it ever has been. And it's just as new as it ever has been. It's the story, when told out in love, has met the needs of men in past generations, and it meets the needs of men today. The basic need of man today is the same as it ever was. Man is in need of salvation. He's in need of the grace of God. It is true that the need and the manifestation of it is intensified more and more today. And there's no doubt that the reason for this is that the attack of the enemy against the Bible and against this story has caused many to lose faith and to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ to their own reasoning and to something else, to a substitute. But nevertheless, the Bible stands today as that which has the answer for man's need, man's problem. Should my listener be one today who has difficulties, you have problems, you have questions, you want to know what is the purpose of life, what is life? We want to assure you that the Bible has the answer. And in the story of God's grace, we find that which is still His power to salvation to everyone that believes. There is no problem in the world today, either in the individual or in the nations, that cannot be met by God Himself through His Word. We would desire that men would turn to this blessed book. And I would invite you, dear listener, to get your Bible and turn with me again to that which speaks with authority and power, the blessed Word of the ever-living God. God uses His Word in bringing us to a conviction of our need, and then He uses His Word to bring us the solution. And it's through faith in Him that we have deliverance from our difficulties. We have an answer to our questions. We have a solution to our problems. And He gives, through the Word, the Gospel, an object for your heart, something to live for, a purpose for your life, and also certainty in the realm of uncertainties. He gives you reality for that which is all around us simply superficial. God grant that today, as we look into this portion from 2 Kings chapter 5, where we have an illustration from the Old Testament of God's way of salvation and the conversion of a man named Naaman. In the 5th chapter of 2 Kings, we read of Naaman. We want to notice him personally, first of all. He was a captain of the host of the king of Syria, so he was a man of position. Next, we read he was a great man with his master. He was a man that was respected. Then we read that he was honorable, a man that could be trusted. And then we also read that he was a mighty man in valor. He had been used to bring deliverance through his exploits in the army of the king of Syria. All these things are commendable, and in them we see a picture of man at his best estate. But yet we read something concerning him which shows that there was something wrong, something that was a blot on all these admirable qualities. He was a leper. But he was a leper. And that disease which he had would cause him to lose his position someday. It would cause him also to lose his respect and his honor, because that would be forgotten. And it certainly would cause him to lose the power that was his, because death brings everything down to nothing. It levels everyone to one common platform. Leprosy is a picture to us of the disease that we all have from the moment that we're born into this world, having been conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We are infected with that disease known as sin. And the Bible tells us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin is that which causes the rebellion in the heart of man. It causes the distress in his own soul. It causes the anxiety and the difficulties on every hand, the disaster, the unrest, the turmoil. It's all produced by sin. It leads to sorrow and eventually leads to death. And what we see then is true of Naaman. Though he was the best, you might see, of mankind, yet his disease speaks to us of what we are by nature in the sight of God, what our true condition is. But God has his eye upon this one Naaman, and he has his eye upon you, and he uses a little maid in his case to bring this great captain to salvation. Not only the healing of his body, which he gets, but he gets the salvation of his soul. This little maid witnessed a good confession in the house of her mistress. She didn't say very much. Very unpretentiously, she simply gave witness to what she believed to be true. She said, "Would God, my Lord," referring to Naaman, "were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." That's all she said, but it was enough. There was a ray of hope here, and it was grasped for. The mistress told Naaman. Naaman told the king. And the king makes preparation to get his valued servant, his captain, to Samaria. But I want you to notice that in going, they make many mistakes. Now, they don't make a mistake in going, but in the manner in which they go and the attitude that they have, we see the way in which men often seek to approach God for salvation. And we're going to notice that it is true that man's thoughts are not God's thoughts. And if we're going to be blessed, we must submit to God's thoughts. Well, the first thing that they do, which is wrong, is that they send a letter to the king of Syria. They go to the wrong person. The little maid had said nothing about going to the king of Israel, rather. She had said, "Go to the prophet." The prophet was Elisha. Elisha's name means God of salvation. And he is a picture to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone there is salvation. Man has the wrong thing in mind when he goes to the king. Just as today, how many there are that would rather go to a so-called preacher or so-called priest, forgetting the fact that we must go direct to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can go to him. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible always tells us to go to Christ, and it's by faith that we do so. And there's salvation in no other name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Next, you notice they take the wrong means. Understand that the value of the things they take here in the talents of silver and the changes of raiment and the 1,000 pieces of gold amounts to at least $750,000. And it gives us a little idea of how much he valued his life. Oh, would to God that you would value your soul as God values it. The value of your soul is more than this. I trust that you desire to get the salvation of your soul. But I want to tell you here, it's not to be purchased with money. As Naaman had to find out that it was not purchased with anything that he could bring. So many people have the wrong notion today that they might buy salvation through so many prayers or giving to this organization or giving to the church or by doing so many deeds. This is all false. God is too rich to sell. You are too poor to buy. And his heart of love is a heart that gives. The gift of God is salvation. And if we are to be blessed, we must be the receivers, not the givers. Now we notice that when he brings this entourage to the king of Samaria, he also has a letter, and he comes with the wrong credentials. And the letter, no doubt, would exploit the commendable traits of Naaman, and it would be true, but we cannot approach God with our own goodness. If we are to come and be received of him, the credentials we must have are the credentials that he gives us through his estimate upon us. We must come as what? As sinners. As sinners. This man receiveth sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We must come as sinners. So he came with the wrong credentials. you must come as a sinner if you're to be received. And if you do, there's no doubt of your reception. And the Lord says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The only credential you need to come to Christ is the credential that you are a sinner. Now he comes to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel is dismayed. The king thinks that it's a plot to simply find some occasion to war against Israel again. But Elisha intervenes, just as the Lord Jesus notices what goes on. Elisha comes, and he sends word to the king of Israel, saying, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. The simplicity of salvation, beloved, here is in the fact that the Lord Jesus knows your need, and he wants you to come to him. That's exactly what it is. Well, it's good to read that Naaman and his pompous entourage find their way to the front of Elisha's house, and they stand outside at the door. Quite a scene, no doubt. But Elisha doesn't even appear. He simply sends a messenger, and he says, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. There's a message there of only 20 words. It's concise, simple, but it's sufficient. But you notice, Elisha doesn't even appear. And I think in this we see how God approaches men today, and he sends out his message through his messengers. None of us have seen the Lord Jesus face to face yet. He's in the glory. But we know that he speaks through his servants. There's no greater privilege than to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a herald of the good news. And the messenger that came from Elisha's house that day, I have no doubt, considered it a great privilege to tell Naaman what to do. But you notice the reception that this message met up with? How like the reception that many give the message of the simple plan of salvation today. We read that Naaman has a wrong attitude about it. Immediately he's wroth, and he turns away. Think of it. What does he expect? Well, he had his own thoughts about it. And so he had wrong thoughts. How many there are today that rebel at the simplicity of God's way of salvation and have their own thoughts. They have their tradition to go by. They say, well, I always believed like this and so forth. I wonder if there's anyone listening who has his own thoughts about how he should be saved. You say, well, I believe if a man does the best that he can, I believe if he's faithful, he pays his debts, I believe if he's religious and all that, I believe if he's baptized, you know, all those things are your thoughts. Naaman has his thoughts, but he was wrong. There's only one simple plan of God's salvation, as we're going to see. He said he thought that the servant of God would come out and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And then he has a wrong idea as to the place where he should be healed. He said, in Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, there are far better waters than that river Jordan. And looking at it from a human standpoint, perhaps he was right. But this was not what the prophet said. And there's only one place, beloved friend, where you can have salvation. The river Jordan speaks to us of the river of the death of Christ. The sin question cannot be settled apart from the death of Christ. Sins cannot be washed away apart from the blood of Christ that was given in his death. The remedy of the ills of men cannot be met, save meeting the need, and that's the need which sin has caused. Sin must be dealt with, and there's only one remedy for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ah, we read that he turned and went away in a rage. Oh, how like the natural heart of man. It's at enmity against God and against his simple salvation. But I trust that's not your attitude, dear listener. I trust you're a willing and an earnest seeker after truth. He turned away, but He had a faithful servant that reasoned with him, and said, Well, now, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather, then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? And Naaman was persuaded. The greatest thing you can do is to believe God and to obey him. And so Naaman went down, we read, he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Ah, he believed the word. He obeyed the gospel, so to speak. He went down, it suggests his repentance, being willing to own that he was an unworthy sinner, and accepting the remedy that the prophet of God had given him. He dipped in Jordan 7 times, and he came up clean as the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. In the moment that you will humble yourself before God, and you will, as it were, avail yourself of the remedy of the cross of Christ, the blood that was shed for you, you too will have your need met, your sin atoned for, your guilt cleansed away. Guilt is cleansed judicially before God, and it's also cleansed morally. Yes, there's a moral cleansing. It'll change your life. It'll give you a purpose in life. It'll give you a new life. It'll give you a new object. And salvation, then, as God's gift in this way, is what gives you salvation without money, without price. This is the remedy. This is what the good story of the grace of God gives us. And it's true. This man realized it too. He turned to the man of God and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Do you know that? The word of God tells us that we may not only have salvation, but know it. And be it known unto you, it says. And these things I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants you to have this blessing now. And then you notice, this man becomes a worshiper. He desires that he might take some earth from the land back to his country, where he might have an altar and offer sacrifices unto the Lord alone. He becomes a worshiper. This is a proof of reality. When a man becomes converted to God, his heart is one, and his devotion is all going out to the one that saved him. Now this one is Jesus alone. Do you know him? Will you have him?